This episode is sponsored by Realtor.com, who wants you to take advantage of your free profile on Realtor.com by claiming and completing your free profile, adding a photo, and all of the information that puts you head and shoulders above the competition. You're on your way to receiving free leads, helping search engines find you, and staying top of mind with past clients. To learn more about claiming your free profile, go to realtor.com/profile.
Welcome to the Real View Podcast, where Ohio realtors connect you to innovators and influencers, keeping you with the real view of real estate. Whether you're a broker, agent, first-time homebuyer, industry leader, or just happen to stumble upon our podcast today, you can expect to hear tips, tools, tricks, interesting information, and so much more from the experts in Ohio's real estate game.
Hi, everyone. Welcome back to the Real View Podcast. I am your host, Allison Wiley. Joining me today, I would like to welcome back to the podcast Sharon Sample. She is our VP of Board Services and Leadership Development here at Ohio Realtors. Sharon, welcome back.
Thank you, Allison. Great to be here.
Also joining us is Sandy Narragon. She is our Professional Standards Administrator here at Ohio Realtors. Sandy, welcome onto the show.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
And I have these wonderful women joining me today to talk about the professional standards program here at Ohio Realtors that launched last summer. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Launched last summer. And we are going to dive into this program, why we decided to do it, a little bit of the details about this program, how it's really taken off. Sandy and Sharon are just doing such a fantastic job with it and the purpose of it and how it's really helping to enhance the service that our realtors here in Ohio are able to provide. So this is going to be a really great conversation and I can't wait to dive into it. But first, I would like to hear a little bit more about you all and your career background, your journey, what's led you to where you are today. Sharon, why don't you kick us off?
Hey, thank you. So I have been at Ohio Realtors for 8 years. Prior to that, I was a local association executive for 24 years. So with that job, I did professional standards there as well. And then prior to those 24 years, I was an MLS administrator for 6 years.
So you've been in this world with us for a while. You understand all the different aspects and perspectives.
I do. I've seen a lot.
Sandy, what about you?
So unlike Sharon, my whole career, my whole working years have been with the realtor family. So I started at the Akron Board in 1982. I thought I'd be there a couple of years while I went to college, but college took a lot longer. Decided to get a 4-year degree instead of 2. But at the end of it, you know, when I had my degree, I was lucky enough, or as fate would have it, named CEO of the Akron Board in 97. Then in 2013, Akron and Cleveland Associations merged, and I had the honor of being named CEO there. All total, when I retired in March of 22, I had 40 years of service with the realtor family. All of those years, some more involved, some less, but all of those years involved professional standards. So when Sharon and I were talking about this new exciting endeavor Ohio Realtors was going to take on, I thought, is that enough to hop out of retirement? I think so. So July of 23, I joined the team and helped launch this new service.
And I know in the conversations that Sharon and I have, you know, just when we were thinking who could run this, I mean, you were top of the list for us and you were like, what we thought, what a better person to come on and run this program. And both of you, honestly, because you both have such a good understanding of this world, of our members, of what all goes into it. I mean, your experience with the local boards really helps elevate and take this program to where it's been. So thank you for coming out of retirement.
Thank you. Thanks for those kind words. And it's challenging, but I love it most of the time.
Yes, we were absolutely thrilled when Sandy agreed to come on as our professional standards administrator. I've known her for so many years and, you know, her expertise and her experience is, you know, above and beyond. So we're just thrilled to have her with us.
Definitely, definitely. Okay, well, let's get into a little bit more about professional standards, what they are, why are they so important to us? Give us a little insight into this, such a critical part of the realtor world and why we do what we do. Sharon, why don't you tell us a little bit more about pro standards, what they are, and why they're so important?
Professional standards and our code of ethics are really the core of the realtor organization since 1913. So it's been a long time with realtors, you know, abiding by the code of ethics and having this procedure in place. So realtors were actually the first trade association to actually create and abide by a code of ethics, even before the medical profession or attorneys. And so it's really what sets our members apart from licensees or someone who just holds a real estate license. So more is expected. When they receive their real estate license, they have to abide, of course, by, you know, license law and the canons of ethics. But once they become a realtor, it's a step above that. And so they also have to abide by our code of ethics. And so the professional standards is really what we use to enforce the code. It's the process that we use. And it's also such a great benefit to our members. I know sometimes we are remiss with not explaining that and saying that this is truly a member benefit where members can come to the association and resolve their disputes with their fellow realtors or their customers and clients.
No, so important. It's such a critical part of the realtor world, as I mentioned. And I think too, it just, and if there's consumers listening, I think it's a promise to the consumers too, you know, that we are going to provide you the highest level of service that we can. And it's because of this. And I think that is the cool thing, you know, when we think about realtors and what makes them so special is because they are held to this highest standard possible. And it means that the consumer is going to get really an amazing service when they work with their realtor.
Yes, because the code is actually broken into three sections, and one of them is duties to customers and clients and duties to their fellow realtors. So yeah, that is very important.
Yeah, they should feel really good knowing that the realtors are held to this level of service and standards. So really, really important. Okay, tell us a little bit about this program that we brought to the Ohio Realtors. As we mentioned last summer, we launched the Pro Standards program here. Tell us a little bit about this program. Why did we want to start this? The benefits, you explained a little bit of the benefits that it brings to our membership, but give us a little history and background info on the launch of this program.
Yeah, well, the real beauty, I think, and the benefit of professional standards is that we provide due process. It's all the parties are treated the same, set by our National Association of Realtors and carried on exactly the same throughout the country. And so when we began to discuss this possibility of a statewide program, we really found that even in Ohio, it maybe wasn't being done the same all across 88 counties in which it should be. So as a benefit to our local associations and our members, we started the process of brainstorming about creating this statewide program. So it was really 3 years in the making. It started in probably late 2019, early 2020, and then we know what happened in 2020. And so with COVID, everything was put on hold. So we basically put the program on hold and the idea of creating this program. So in 2021, we began, 2022, we began forming a work group, putting this program together. So we just felt that the beauty of the program is the consistency, where it's one administrator, as we have in Sandy. We have legal oversight with our two attorneys on staff reviewing all the decisions and the cases and being there to assist Sandy, to be there during appeals or hearings and whatnot. So and then our huge pool of members. So, you know, one of the things in professional standards is to be able to have an impartial hearing, impartial members, you know, that can look at the complaint or the arbitration request and move forward. And so we're very fortunate to have a nice pool of volunteers as well. That's basically how the program got started and continues. Then in July 1st, as Sandy said, of 2023, we launched it and we're going full speed.
It really has been full speed ahead, and you guys have been so busy and dedicated so much time and energy into this program and making sure, you know, our members are getting the best service that they can out of this. So it's been really cool to watch you guys launch it, see how far we've come, see just the momentum and excitement about it, because it's been really great to see. So hats off to you guys for putting together this amazing program. Are there similar programs that exist like this with other states? Was there anything that you took kind of from other states, or that there were similar programs happening throughout the country, or was this kind of a new idea from us?
There are many state associations that do this. I don't have the number offhand, but I know we spoke to at least 6 state associations that have this program, just to get an idea of how they ran their program. You know, how many cases do they have, the caseload and things. So we did. The other states who we contacted were great in providing us information and giving us some idea before we jumped in without knowing what we were getting into. So, and the same with the program that we used to administer the program, that was from another state as well, CasePro. They were using that program. And so we spoke with them and were able to adopt that as well.
Yeah, no, that's really great. I think that we've been able to bring this to Ohio and to Ohio's Realtors, and really, really awesome. So great work on the development and launch of that.
This episode of The Real View is brought to you by the Ohio Association of Community Colleges. Ohio's network of community colleges provides accessible training that accommodates the busy lifestyles of aspiring real estate professionals at half the price of a traditional university. With convenient locations in every part of the state, as well as online options, Ohio's community colleges are your smart choice for pre-licensing education. For more details or to start the journey to a real estate career, visit the education page at ohiorealtors.org and then click on the pre-license course locations.
Sandy, do you want to share with us a little bit more about how the program works, some of the details that goes into it, maybe talk a little bit about your role as administrator and some of the things that you're tasked to do with, and tell us a little bit more of the details of the program?
Sharon gave a great foundation, and I'll start with some of the points that she made, which is, you know, consistency. I'm asked that a lot. What does that mean? Why does Ohio Realtors, you know, say that they took over for consistency? And a lot of it has to do with the capacity that our local boards have. So in some instances, they may not have dealt with a case. Maybe there's 2 years in between case processing and you forget things. So that's one thing. I'm doing it a lot. So I, you know, going through those steps, that, how they say, the more you do something, the better you get at it. So part of that, it's not a criticism of our locals. It's the fact that they simply didn't have enough cases to be able to consistently process them. In other cases, capacity may mean they had too many. So some of our larger associations, you know, all of us know that we don't wear one hat. When you're a staff member at an association, especially a local association, you have many, many duties. And so capacity may mean that you simply didn't have the power, the people power, to be able to process the complaints. And so I think that's a big part of the why. But how it works, that I think there's misconceptions about that too. Because I think some of our locals, especially the leadership, the volunteer leadership, they were afraid to let go of professional standards. They thought that meant they were no longer going to have any role whatsoever in the enforcement of professional standards. And that's really wrong. What we took off, what we gave to the local boards was the opportunity to say, here, Ohio Realtors, you take on the administrative, the processing of these complaints, which we do. However, we do that with the use of volunteers around the state. So that's a big misconception. Local boards and their local associations and their volunteers are very much involved in the outcome of these cases. So I think that's really important for them to know, for our members and the public to know. The other thing is there's still the point of contact. A local buyer or seller or a local realtor's having an issue, they're going to pick up and call who they know. They're going to call their local association. And so those CEOs and professional standards folks, member services, whoever it is at that local level who gets that call, they're still going to be a point of contact. and they'll listen, which a lot of times that's all someone wants is to be heard, but they'll listen and then hopefully they'll explain. The National Association of Realtors empowers local and state associations to enforce the code of ethics, and that's what you're talking about. I'm going to refer you on to our state association, either by phone or by email, and we have got a website. So that point of contact is still with them, and then they turn it over to the association, and that's when I jump in. And there's four different services that the profession that fall under the umbrella of professional standards. So it's called ombudsman. That's really sort of the first point where I don't really know if I have an issue, or I know I have an issue, but I don't know what I want to do about it. I just want to talk to someone. That's the ombudsman program. Then maybe it's gotten to the level where an ethics complaint, someone believes, realtor or public, believes that a realtor didn't behave the way they ought to. They didn't fulfill their duties within that transaction, and they want someone to investigate and look at those behaviors and either, you know, confirm or tell them that, no, that's not a violation. So that behaviors fall under the ethics and what Sharon was talking about, enforcing the code. But then there's another such a valuable process or procedure that we offer service is arbitration. So any two brokers, principal brokers of a firm, if they believe each of them is owed the commission in a transaction, that's a commission dispute and that falls under arbitration. So two brokers both think they earn the commission. Many times they really have done nothing wrong, so to speak, but the buying and selling public don't understand how realtors are paid. So sometimes, you know, things happen and you have two brokers and agents at the end of this transaction who both sides feel that they're owed that commission. So what an amazing service. You know, that in and of itself is such a great dues dollars at work. But connected to arbitration, the fourth service that we offer is called mediation. And mediation is offered automatically anytime a broker files an arbitration. So they've got a commission dispute. They file the arbitration, and right away, the first thing we do is ask them, are you willing to mediate this? Mediation's a friendlier, less formal version of arbitration. The brokers, oftentimes it's just the two brokers. Sometimes they'll bring an agent because the agent knows the details, but those two brokers sit down in a room with a trained mediation officer, and that mediation officer just gets them talking. Sometimes it's disappointing when a broker says, I don't want to mediate. They automatically say, no, we've talked and talked. We're done talking. I want to go straight to arbitration. So that's when I try to convince them, what do you have to lose? A few more weeks? You know, we can set this mediation session right away. You don't have to wait for the matter to go before a grievance committee to decide if it's arbitrable, which I don't want to get too far in the weeds, but you know, the mediation truly is a less formal, so we can get it on the calendar quicker. And I often say, you know, just having another person in the room asking you questions and you have to defend your position and explain your position. This person's a neutral third party, you know, so they do a great job getting people who think they're talked out talking a little bit more. So that's the groundwork of sort of what it is that we're doing. You asked my role. So it's truly administrative. I'm not involved in any of the decision making. So when any of those four things I just mentioned come in through CasePro, Sharon mentioned CasePro, that is an electronic professional standards software program. Does a lot, keeps me very organized. So when I get a request like that, depending on what it is, right away, I reach out to that, whoever it is that has filed, whether it's a public member or another realtor. But so I administratively kind of let them know, and there are many, 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 many steps. That's where consistency comes in as well. Our locals, even the ones that are amazing at it. And I will admit, you know, it gets overwhelming, these steps, you know, and Sharon mentioned due process. That's why there's so many steps. We want to make sure that every single person who comes to us to have a case heard they're treated the same way. They have the same number of days to prepare their case. They have an opportunity to say, I don't think this person could give me a fair hearing, so I'm going to ask you not to put that person on a panel. There's all these different steps. That's my main job, is to keep all those steps, make sure they happen, make sure people understand what those steps are when I send it out to them. Sharon mentioned all the volunteers around the state. I'll mention that too. We just get these questions so much. And another one of the questions that we get from our volunteers is, am I going to have to drive to Columbus to hear a case? Am I ever going to see cases from my local board ever again, my local association? And so the answer to that is, it depends. I can tell you, we're never going to have panelists drive over, we said 50 miles or an hour, you know, depending on how fast you drive. I guess that number of miles could change, but we're never going to have our volunteers who serve on panels drive any long distance to serve. We are doing all of our grievance committees. Grievance is the first step after a case is received. The grievance committee acts as the grand jury, and they say, you know, they have 8 questions to answer. And if all of those answers are yes, then it moves forward to a hearing, either arbitration or ethics. All of those right now are being held via Zoom. And the reason is, it's the most efficient way to hear cases around the entire state. This coming Friday, I've got a Cincinnati grievance committee and I have a Lake Geauga grievance committee. That would have been impossible for me to be in both locations. But in order to give due process to these folks that gave submitted a complaint, we want timely review. So, you know, grievance committees always Zoom. Hearings, I travel to the local area where the complaint was filed. What we say is, hearing panels will be comprised of members first from your local association, if there are enough of them, and if we can create a panel that has an unbiased set of folks. Occasionally, the association's too small, and we have to go out one layer, and that layer is the district. So far, I've been able to, from this pool of trained professional standards folks, I've been able to put an unbiased panel together, if not from the association, then from the district. And I think that's really important, that if a hearing's going to be held in person, that it's somewhere that is comfortable, especially for public members. This freaks the public out. It scares them, you know, but if they can go down the road and drive into their local association office, same for the realtors, you know, it's scary, it's stressful. And so if they can go somewhere that they know, I think that takes a tiny bit of stress away. In other instances, when that can't happen, for instance, we had an interboard arbitration, and one broker from the far northwest of our state, the other was down in the southeast of our state. So rather than even make them drive to Columbus, we had it, the hearing via Zoom. So use the technologies we have available. We had a public member from Florida. Well, he's not going to fly to Ohio for a hearing that takes an hour and a half. So we did that via Zoom as well. But that's my job. I kind of coordinate all of that. There's a lot of paperwork, too, that goes along with it, just making sure that we've done everything right and we've put everything, we've reduced it to writing the way that it ought to be. Sharon mentioned the attorneys. That's where I would get the hearing decisions and awards over to the hearing, to the legal counsel, and they review. We're trying to do everything right so that the credibility of this program speaks for itself. You know, that folks know that if they file a complaint at Ohio Realtors, they're going to have timely resolve. It's going to be fair. They're going to know what's happening. So probably way more than you needed to know, but I think it's important because it's kind of complicated the way it all fits together.
Yeah, no, I think that was a great explanation, and I'm happy you kind of went into the detail and shared a little bit more from a comprehensive approach of how this all works. And you're right, I think it's really great what we've done here. You can just tell the amount of time and detail that you guys have taken in putting this program together and making sure that all of this is the same, making sure that it's going to be you know, a fair process. I mean, thinking about, you know, where to even have the trials. I mean, that is such a nice detail that you guys have brought into this process. So I think it's really great. You can tell how much care and time and effort you put into making sure this process is really top notch and is going to be the best case scenario for all of our members. So thank you so much for explaining all of that and for your hard work in running the program and your duties as administrator. So that's kind of gotten us up to launch of the program, how it's working now. But I know we've added some additional policies to the program. Sharon, why don't you tell us a little bit about the upcoming edition of the citation policy?
Sure. As Sandy said, you know, we continue to improve this program. That's our goal. We want to perfect it. We want to continue to improve it. When we first began, we didn't have any cases. So as the cases started coming in and that experience and just the different situations and things, we've continued to update our procedures. We're just trying to fine tune that, you know, the program. So this year, what we're looking at in 2024, we'll be adding a citation policy. And that's a policy that NAR created a few years ago to help speed up the program. So another option. And because we hear so many times from members, I don't want to file a complaint or I don't want to do the arbitration request because it's going to take too long. And many don't. And in order to have a good, you know, healthy code of ethics program, we need, you know, if they see something that's not right out there, they need to file. So to speed up the process, to make it better for our members, we're going to adopt the citation policy. So what it is when there's certain articles that are involved in this program. So if a complaint comes in that falls under this program, the grievance committee still reviews the complaint. And if it is one of those articles, it would get passed to the citation panel. And what happens is the respondent would get a letter saying that a complaint has been filed, grievance committee has reviewed it, and they can have the option of paying a fine and not going to hearing. But they also still have that option to say, no, I'm not going to pay the fine. I'm going to have my day in court and I'm going to go for a hearing. So it's in the policies and procedures and the fine schedules that we created, they can really only do that twice. And then they have to go on to a hearing because I know in many conversations about the citation policy, they said, oh, they can just pay a fine and they're done. And it's like, well, you can only do that so many times. So it's just going to be another option to our program. The respondents don't have to accept it. As I said, they can go on to a hearing and, you know, have the ability to present their case there. So that's really one big thing that we're going to institute here in 2024 as we continue to update those little procedures and policies that go along with the program.
Yeah, what a great idea and another great option to help deal with this. I can see a lot of members taking advantage of that, but no more than two times. And I'm just curious, and you all have the most experience in dealing with these cases, what are some of the most common complaints? And if you're a realtor listening to this, you know, what should they kind of flag in their head as some of the most common violations? Or what are you guys seeing coming across your desk as far as what these complaints are looking like and what realtors need to be aware of when it comes to pro standards?
I'll tackle that one because Case Pro, I mentioned that software program. One of the powerful tools within it is I can run reports. And so I ran Run right before we started. And just to give folks an idea of what kind of caseload we have, we've had 67 complaints filed since July 1, 2023. And so of that 67, 30 of them were ethics complaints. And so I'll be able to drill down and answer your question specifically about of those 30, which articles were named. But 24 of them were ombudsman, and I mentioned that's the sort of the starting point. And many, many times it's resolved at that point, but sometimes they do go on to be ethics. We've had 13 arbitrations filed, and four of those the brokers agreed to mediate. And so we're We are getting the word out about mediation. But to answer your question specifically, so of the 30 ethics complaints that we had that went on for a hearing, there are 4 articles that sort of pop out as being repeat offenders, so to speak. But so Article 1, which is the article that basically says realtors owe everyone honesty and fairness, whether it be their customers and clients, the public in general, or their fellow realtor. That one is cited most often. That was cited 15 times. There's a lot of reasons. It's the most general. It's the first one, especially members of the public will read that and go, yeah, it's that one. So Article 1 has been cited the most often. Article 2 comes in next, and Article 2 is the one that has realtors avoid exaggeration, misleading statements, or concealment regarding the property. So that's Article 2. That's pretty, you know, I mean, if you think about what realtors do for a living, that is very, very, very important to be accurate. So that's where that would fall. Next up for common is Article 12. Article 12 is, in general, it's the advertising article. But it doesn't just mean how a property is advertised in terms of whether it's on the market, off the market, the details regarding it. It's everything. It's social media. It's websites. It's, you know, is the square footage accurate? Is the type of water accurate? If it's part of a homeowners association, does it say that? So Article 12 encompasses everything regarding advertising in every media you can think of. So that one is cited quite a bit. That's one that's cited realtor to realtor more so than the public, although I have seen several cases recently where the public is citing that, and it's all about the accuracy of the information about the listing.
So make sure those ducks are in a row when it comes to your listing.
Absolutely. That's something that someone asked me at our training we were just at, why do you think that? Why do you think Article 12? And I think maybe it's a symptom of the market. You know, they're running around like crazy. They're trying so hard to get listings and all of that. And they're dealing with, once something comes on the market, they're so excited to get a new listing. You know, they're maybe just slow down, take your time, and realize that folks are relying so much on that information. And that is something you can control. You can control how accurate your information is. And then the last one, and this one's a little disheartening, Article 15. And Article 15 is the one that talks about realtors have a responsibility to one another not to make false or reckless or misleading statements about each other. And with social media being such a part of our world, you know, maybe 30 years ago, if someone made a snide remark about a fellow realtor, 2 people heard it. Now, if someone makes a snide remark or a damaging remark about their fellow realtor and it's on social media, thousands could possibly see it. I'm telling you, screen capture is your friend or foe in this instance. But yeah, you're right, Sharon. So those are the top 4. Those are the top 4 with the cases that we've had. Active cases right now, we're at 27.
Wow. So that keeps you guys pretty busy. That's a lot. I know I mentioned earlier, just thanks for all you do. So it sounds like you're staying busy and have a lot of cases to work through. So we appreciate you and all that you're doing for this program. So let's talk about the future. What is up and coming for this program? I know we're only a little over 6 months in, and it's amazing to see just where this program has gotten to in 6 months. And that's a credit to you guys for doing such a great job with this. But as I know, Sharon, you mentioned that this is constantly evolving. We're always trying to take it to the next level, to do more, to just make sure that we're putting on the best program that we can. So what's coming into the future? What can we expect next from Pro Standards?
Yeah, I mean, we were very nervous starting this program with all the unknowns and whatever. So it's been, I think, a good 6 months, you know, going 7 months and moving forward. One thing that I do want to say, and I know Sandy's going to second this and also, you know, comments about this as well, is our amazing members and our amazing volunteers. We had 2 days of training, so we had over 200 of our members in our pool sit through those days of training. And to give up their time like that to, you know, to the association and their passion and their, you know, love for the code of ethics or, you know, or the program. We have many members who just really enjoy this, you know, and serving in these roles. And we are much appreciated, you know, appreciative of that for sure. So, you know, for the future, we just hope to, you know, to fine tune it and to move forward and to make it the best that we can, the best benefit, one of the best benefits that we can offer as a Realtor Association.
Yep, absolutely. Did you want to add anything to that?
Yeah, I do. I think that Sharon's right. We have amazing volunteers. And I think one of the things that I've noticed since coming aboard in July of last year is we really do need to create a better awareness about this program. And I want to be able for our members to know and understand it exists, but also to know and understand why it is the unsung hero of services for them. Keeps them out of the court system, you know, saves them legal fees, saves them court costs. It's just an amazing program. And I think there's a fine line when you say you want to raise awareness about professional standards, because you don't want members thinking you're out there, you know, beating the drum for complaints. That's not it at all. I want them to feel really, really confident that if they find themselves in a position where a complaint has been filed against them, that they have the confidence in us, that they are going to get the fairest hearing. They're going to get this process is going to make them a better realtor. That's why it exists. But so I think this awareness campaign of just tooting our own horn and letting the members know it's what it is and how it is, letting the public know, hey, wait a minute, don't go to court. You know, don't go to the Ohio Division of Real Estate. You know, we've got a pretty amazing system here for dispute resolution, and we hope you utilize it. So that's that future. That's something I really want to do in the future.
And it sounds like it's great that we had you on the podcast today.
Absolutely. This can be step one. Check mark.
Yeah, no, and I think it would be important too to, you know, have you guys back again, and we could do, you know, another episode in the future and talk about where we've gotten to that point since, you know, today's conversation. But no, I think that sounds great. And any way we can help get the word out about it, we can. And to all you guys listening too, you know, tell your colleagues, tell your brokerages, tell your offices, you know, about this program and the great stuff that's going on. But I want to thank the both of you for coming on, for sharing a little bit more about you and the work that you do, and for all the work that you're doing for this program. You guys are doing an incredible job in just providing a really, really special benefit to our members. So thank you all for all that you do and for joining me today.
Thank you. Thanks for having us.
Thank you, Allison.
And to all of our listeners, thank you guys so much for tuning in. We'll be back with you next week.
Thank you for listening to The Real View. That wraps up today's episode. You can keep up with the latest on the podcast at ohiorealtors.org/TheRealView and on Apple or Google Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen. Have questions, comments, or suggestions? We want to hear from you. Email us at podcast@ohiorealtors.org. We'll see you next time.